Okay, greetings and salutations, everyone. This is Kevin, a.k.a. Darth Devious, and I'm here again with Charles. Say hi.
How's it going, everybody out there?
And we are recording episode 3 of Who Gives a Hoot, and I am subtitling this one the Stormageddon Edition, as Hurricane Sandy has just passed where Charles lives, and is heading directly for where I live, and by the time this goes up, should have passed, I hope. Though this might get delayed going up if I have no power to upload. We'll see what happens. Yeah, where I live is pretty much right where they're expecting the eye of the storm to come ashore and go directly over New Jersey, right over where I live in Delaware, and Philadelphia and all that other good stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and to give a little perspective, where I'm at is in Wilmington, North Carolina, which has seen quite a number of share of hurricanes in the past. We didn't get hit directly, but needless to say, the surfers really enjoyed the waves. I was actually out there watching a couple of friends of mine, and it didn't get really dangerous or anything for people. I know a lot of people are like, oh, surfers are stupid for going out to waves, but a lot of the people out here who surf, they are seasoned veterans. They know what they're doing, and these guys are smart. They know if there's a bad riptide, get inside, you know, don't do anything idiotic or anything like that. But it's fun to watch.
Okay. So this week, we're going to be discussing the next two episodes from Christopher Eccleston's season, and that's Dalek, which is, you know, a favorite of Charles's and one of my favorites as well. And then we're going to briefly touch on The Long Game, because some of the events at the end of Dalek go right into that. So, mm-hmm. And it also helps set up the last couple episodes for the season. So, Dalek. Dalek's one of those stories where you really start to find out that there was a time war and what had happened between the Daleks and the Time Lords, and that the Time Lords are gone, all that good stuff. Has probably some of the best acting from Christopher Eccleston of the whole season. His confrontation with the Dalek and just yelling at the Dalek, and the Dalek just telling him he would make a good Dalek, it's pretty cool. Since this is your favorite episode, why don't you take the lead a little bit on this?
Well, actually, I gotta remember this episode. It's been a while. from memory, though, basically, this is an episode where the Doctor and Rose materialize in this really, really weird-looking museum place. They look around, they see all these alien artifacts, including the head of a Cyberman.
Yep.
All of a sudden, they're surrounded by a bunch of guards and everything. You know, boom, boom, you're coming with us. And they end up meeting, I can't remember his name, what was the guy's name?
Henry Van Staten.
Henry Van Staten. Who's basically a rich boy collector of unique alien artifacts. And of course, chief among his collection is his masterpiece, his prized possession, which is a Dalek.
That he calls a Metaltron.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the Dalek is screaming in pain, pretty much. And, somehow it had sent a message to the Doctor, and like an SOS to the psychic paper or something. Or to the TARDIS. Somehow they ended up in the museum in 2012, and the Doctor thinks that it's just an alien that is captured by Van Staten, and when he finally goes into the room to try and help it, it's dark, so he can't see what's in there. Which is really cool, because you don't know what's in there, really. And then, when he says he's the Doctor and he's there to help, you hear the distinctive Dalek voice saying, Doctor!
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor freaks out because he thinks the Dalek's gonna kill him, but the Dalek's too wounded to do anything. His weapons are useless, and he's chained up. And of course, Van Staten then realizes that the Doctor is an alien and wants to add him to his collection. Meanwhile, Rose goes to talk to the Dalek, and because she's been traveling through time, just a simple touch of her hand is able to help the Dalek revitalize itself. It then downloads the entire internet and siphons power to repair itself, and then goes on a killing spree throughout the museum. And eventually kills pretty much everyone there except for Van Staten, his secretary, this one British kid that ends up leaving with the Doctor and Rose at the end, and things like that. It's a really well put together episode, and was a nice way to reintroduce the Daleks into the newer series. Some people say that they're starting to get a little played out because they've been used too much. That may be true, but from the get-go here with this was a really good way to do it, because both the Doctor and this single Dalek were survivors from the war and were the only ones to survive the war. And pretty much you can almost consider it the last shot of the Time War. And in the end, the Dalek is actually the more noble of the two, you could almost say. So, speak about it. It's your favorite episode.
excuse me, I'm recovering from a cold here. It is my favorite episode because, one, when I was growing up, a lot of the episodes I like to watch were about the Daleks. And two, this episode in particular was actually my gateway into the new Doctor series. typically, I don't always watch first episodes of certain shows, especially if I've seen it before, like Doctor Who, even though I've never seen the new series. So when I was going through season one, I think it was on iTunes, I got it, but I remember I saw an episode called Dalek. I'm like, oh, I want to check this out, see how, things have changed. And that's essentially where it came from. And just like all the other episodes, yes, it's a favorite because I love the Daleks. I did like how the Doctor really got, you could tell Christopher was really pushing his acting chops a little bit in this episode because he really got emotional in the episode. He got really almost violent, angry at some points, and then he would kind of rein himself in, like he realized what he was sort of becoming, especially that thing, so that scene where he got so angry at the Dalek, and then the Dalek just looked at him and said, "You'd make a good Dalek." And he just, and he like had to look at himself for a minute, like, oh wow, I'm becoming one of them.
Yeah. And he was so into it with his acting that when he's doing that scene and he finally goes, "Why don't you just die?" There's always this spittle that comes out of his mouth when he says it. And it's just so visceral when you see that. And you see how much the Doctor has come to really hate the Daleks after everything they've been through. Because he used to just regard them as, his enemies, but he really didn't have fear or hatred for them. He just needed to stop them. But by this point in time, because of the war and everything, the Doctor hated them. He just really, really hated them. And you didn't get that much with David Tennant, but there was a little bit of that anger in Victory of the Daleks when the 11th Doctor was just beating on one of the Daleks and just, kicking at it and things like that. You can see that old anger coming back out, and I thought that was good too. This episode had a lot of pretty cool special effects. I mean, the way that the Dalek beams were killing the people now, you could actually see them get electrocuted and see their skeletons and stuff. I mean, they used to get hit and die, and you just see a flash of light. It's cool to actually see the skeleton pop up now and things like that. And it was actually really intelligent of the Dalek to start the sprinkler system and then use it to electrocute all the soldiers that were attacking it all in one shot. And it's just another way of showing how somebody, just because they have money and power, can get in over their heads over something they just don't understand. Because Van Staten just wanted the Dalek to talk. That's all it wanted.
Yeah.
And the Dalek just is not a creature like that. You can't talk to them. It's just not going to happen. And he really didn't know what he had, didn't respect it. It got out, murdered hundreds of people, and in the end, Van Staten ended up with his mind wiped and left somewhere with an S name.
Yeah.
And of course, the little British kid runs off with the doctor and Rose. And of course, he was not much better, as you find out in the long game.
Mm-hmm.
But let's concentrate on Dalek a little bit more before we get into the long game. It was funny seeing them thinking that the stairs were going to stop the Dalek, because it had been established in, I think it was the Seventh Doctor's storylines, where the Daleks had figured out how to go upstairs. So it wasn't a new trick on their part, but mm-hmm. just them thinking, oh, here's stairs, you can't get up the stairs. And they just levitate up the stairs.
When I saw that scene, the scene that it reminded me of was the first RoboCop film, when Murphy went to the stairwell and was running away from Ed 209, and it like walked in, and you would think, okay, this is a robot with legs that can walk down the stairs, but of course it couldn't.
Nope.
Something about robots and stairs, they just can't figure it out.
So, what else can we say about this episode? Because this is really, one of the more powerful episodes, powerful standalone episodes of this season.
There is one thing that I noticed on a rewatch of this episode, and I can't find this online, but I'm pretty sure when I saw it. In the very beginning of the episode, there was a scene where you saw Henry Van Staten's helicopter landing. If you look at the helicopter, that helicopter is Blue Thunder.
Really?
The second time...
You know what?
The first thing I saw was the nose cone of it and the Gatling gun on the front. But it wasn't clear as far as anything else. I just saw it, nose perspective landing, and that was it.
Yeah, give me a second here. I'm gonna verify that and see if that's true. I just gotta plug in my external hard drive here.
So I don't know if maybe they use like stock footage or something like that, but I thought it was pretty neat that, you saw that. I was like, whoa, cool.
All right, let's see. Are we still there? Okay. I'm going to see if you're right real quick, because I'm just going to start that episode up real quick. No. I just got to find it.
I was hoping to find, like, a screenshot of it or something.
Yeah, I haven't seen a screenshot of it. Alright. Let me...
I'll see my DVD player shutting down. See, folks, this is the exciting part of podcasting, is when you find out some interesting little tidbit of information, but it's like, ooh, I have to look that up real quick. Hold on, stop for a minute. So, awesome. Bear with us.
Oh, you are correct! Holy crap! It is! It's like a...
Now, the real question is, it's more likely stock footage, because I know the real Blue Thunder helicopter, at least from what I know, is not capable of flight anymore. And I think it's on this plane, one the Disney places or whatever. Unless someone built a replica, which I seriously doubt they built an entire replica of Blue Thunder just to fly it for a 2-second shot.
Yeah, well, it might just be a blue painted what were those helicopters? Apache. Because that's basically what Blue Thunder is.
No, no, actually Apaches are completely different from what the Blue Thunder design
really
is. Yes, I'm geeking out. Blue, and again, we're getting off on a tangent here, but Blue Thunder was based on a Russian helicopter. But the whole front end of it is completely different. But yeah, I'm thinking it's probably the stock footage, because not only did they have to move it, they had a whole Blue Thunder TV show, and it was probably they just pulled that footage from that and put it in there real quick, make it look really cool. Because I mean, he's Van Staten, you know, he's got alien technology sitting in the basement, you know, 5 miles below wherever he's at. He's going to have a cool looking helicopter. They probably didn't go with Airwolf because they figured Airwolf would be really recognizable.
I'm looking at a picture of Blue Thunder right now. I'm going to go back in the episode a few frames here and just see. Yeah, it is! That's actually kind of cool. I never noticed that before, so that's cool. So there you go, everybody. If you watch the beginning of the episode, Dalek, Van Staten arrives in Blue Thunder. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little Easter egg for you all. okay. All right, where are we now? So why don't we get into the long game real quick, and then we can discuss more of Dalek. But in the long game, the Dr. Rose and I can't remember that kid's name. Give me a second here. I really should do this stuff ahead of time. I was busy today. Sorry, everybody. I was really busy today, and I just...
You got a hurricane heading up there. You know, people can't expect you to be completely prepared for everything.
Adam, the kid Adam that went with him. They all go... the doctor wanted to show them the fourth great and bountiful human empire in the year 200,000... But something's wrong. Something has set the human race back and rewritten time. And they end up discovering that at the top of the station is this giant alien thing called the Jagrafresh or something like that. I can't remember his name. And the editor, which is played by Mr. Simon Pegg, is using corpses to run the station, run the news, and keep humanity pretty much stalled in its evolution. And it's not the best episode, but as I said, it does set up stuff that's going to happen at the end of the season, because the end of the season ends up happening on the same satellite, Satellite 4, I think it was. Am I right? Am I wrong? Satellite 5. I was off by one number, sue me. And, so yeah, everything that happens there, but it's like 100 years later on Satellite 5 at the end of the season. So we'll eventually get to that. This episode, it's the probably the parts that I like the best are what happens with Adam as he tries to, you know, utilize this information from the future to make himself rich in the past, which is one thing the doctor seriously hates. And he even gets that implant in his head where if you snap your fingers, his head opens up and you can see his brain. And, yeah, he has to live with that the rest of his life.
It also provides a very interesting comic relief toward the end of the episode.
Yeah, it does. When the doctor drops him off back at home and destroys the answering machine with all the information on it. Not that an answering machine could hold that much information. That was a little unrealistic, but still. Like I said, it's not the greatest of the episodes. Coming after Dalek, it really is a little let down, but not too bad. Yeah, not much really happened in the episode other than them having to deal with the Jagrafresh up at the top of the station.
Mm-hmm.
And how the station was hot because they had to keep it cold up at the top for the Jagrafresh, so all the air conditioning was routed up there.
Yeah, which, it's funny watching this episode because it's essentially everybody's playing reality game shows. And I like this episode, but I didn't like it just because I hate reality TV. I think it's like the worst thing ever. And I know people are going to, be like, oh, this is great, that is great, and everything. Come on. Everything's scripted anyway, people. You know that. They're just making out reality TV. I like Cops back in the day.
The reality TV aspect comes in at the end of the season on Satellite mm-hmm. 5. Where they're put into games, all put into games, like the Doctor ends up in the Big Brother house, and Rose is on the Weakest Link with the robot.
Yep.
Stuff like that. But on this one, it's pretty much, it's the news outlet. All the news from the entire Empire is filtered through Satellite 5. And it's filtered through Satellite 5 so that it can dumb down humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Dalek's still a lot better.
It's Long Game is just a filler episode.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with Doctor Who, each series, and for the most part the entire show itself, from series one all the way to the current series, everything kind of interconnects, even if there's just one hint or one word in one episode. So even this episode, even if it's just a throwaway filler episode, it still has connections, not only with past episodes, but with future episodes.
Yeah. That is true. With season one, the follow-through thread was Bad Wolf. As,
Mm-hmm.
The words have been following them. And Bad Wolf actually goes through all the way through season 4. It still gets mentions.
Yep.
And in the comic book, the Next Generation Doctor Who crossover, it's even mentioned in there, Bad Wolf with the 11th Doctor. So yep. That's how powerful that is. But yeah, I think the main thing that you get from Dalek is the real feeling of how much the Doctor suffered through the war, because his anger towards this Dalek is a direct result of what had happened, what he had to make happen. You find out that the Doctor made the end of the war happen, that he was the one who pretty much had his finger on the button that ended the Time Lords and the Daleks. It's a powerful moment when you realize that it explains a lot of why the Doctor was acting like he was in these first few episodes, not as happy-go-lucky as he once was in his older incarnations. He does start to soften a bit after this episode, because I think he sees that he had been pushed to his darkest, and he starts to act a little more friendly as you get towards the end of the season, and more caring.
Mm-hmm.
Even though at the end of the season he does have to face the Daleks again, but we'll get into that in more detail. Yeah, I'm actually don't have much more to say. I mean, this was really is a fantastic episode, but
mm-hmm.
it's very simple story too. At the same time, it's not hugely complicated. There's not much to talk about, simply because it's basically a confrontation between the Doctor and this Dalek. But what is weird is because Rose was the one who sort of helped the Dalek heal. It was her touch that did it. The Dalek did absorb some human DNA, and it wouldn't kill her. It just would not. And that was actually, you know, here it is, the Doctor thinks the Dalek killed her, and the Dalek purposely did not shoot her when she was trapped in a corridor with it. And the Doctor is just telling this Doctor just kill itself and all this other stuff. And he's going out of his way to build this giant gun to just take it out. And in the end, the Dalek, because of the influence of Rose, actually considers itself just supremely contaminated and ends up committing suicide anyway. But it really does show you that the Doctor was ready to blow this thing away. And yeah, it probably did deserve it, because it did kill all these people in the base, but in the end, it was the one that backed off. It was the one that chose to end its own life. And I think that got to the Doctor at the end, when he was just like, you know, just, I don't think he knew how to react to that, honestly.
Yeah.
And what do you think?
Well, I mean, the Doctor knew the Daleks through a long history of how violent they were. And I think for the first time he got to see a somewhat emotional Dalek. He got to see one that was, you know, almost sad in a way. I mean, this episode at one point made you kind of feel sorry for the Dalek.
This is true. And that's actually very hard to pull off, because anybody who watched Doctor Who in the past, you're automatically, you know, just, you're going to always try and take the side of the Doctor. But in this episode, if you look through Rose's eyes, she was actually taking the side of the Dalek, even after it killed everything. She was still trying to stop the Doctor from killing it, because it had changed in such a way that it really was, though it was disgusted in itself for how it changed, it was not really the Dalek that it was at the beginning of the episode. I think you could say that if it didn't revile itself so much that it committed suicide, you would see a much different version of Daleks than you see now. Ones that aren't all about hate and killing and all this other stuff. It would have been interesting. But in the same token, you really can't have the Daleks become these emotional beings like that. It just, they wouldn't have the same impact.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was very well done. I will say that. Because in the end, the Doctor was more the bad guy at the end than the Dalek was. Which was a weird twist, considering everything that they had gone through. But it also shows how much the Doctor had been affected by the war. And how, I guess, his mental state at the time. You know, he sees a Dalek and he just loses it.
Yeah. But you gotta think too, I mean, he had really just got out of that war, and the war was between the Time Lords and the Daleks. So for him to see something he thought was, you know, gone, obliterated, you know, there's no telling what kind of reaction Amon would have like that.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know. Maybe we should cut this one short.
Now, before we do, I have another bit of trivia. And this is going to be interesting. I had to look this one up because there's a few connections I had to kind of double check and make sure. Simon Pegg, who played the editor in The Long Game.
Okay.
Now, of course, everybody knows him from either The Shaun of the Dead or from the new Star Trek. So, here we go. Here's some connections you got. Simon Pegg originally wrote and starred a TV show called Space. That was his first ever anything he ever done out of acting. He starred in that show with Jessica Stevenson, who actually played Joan Redfern in the two-part Human Nature and the Family of Blood, and later on with the Tenth Doctor.
Interesting.
Now, that's not the only connection. He also, in Shaun of the Dead, was co-starring with Penelope Wilton, who played Harriet Jones, and Bill Nighy, who played, I can't remember the character's name.
He didn't have a name. He was just the head of that Van Gogh museum.
Right. And the other connection is when he played in Star Trek, he played another Doctor Who alumni, Deep Roy.
Yes.
Who played the alien sidekick that Scotty had on the ice planet.
Yes, and he was in the Talons of Wang Xiang.
Mm-hmm. So, Simon Pegg's had a lot of connections with Doctor Who, despite only having starred, I think, so far in one episode.
Yeah. Well, he did good in the episode. I will say that. He was probably the highlight of the episode was Simon Pegg as the editor calling the Jagrafresh Max.
Mm-hmm.
the white hair and all that was a little weird, but still, that was pretty cool that he was in that. Because I like Simon Pegg. I really did. I thought he did a great job as Scotty in Star Trek. Shaun of the Dead is a hilarious movie. I still say you need to see Paul. Paul is probably one of the funniest alien films out there.
And
Hot Fuzz wasn't bad.
Of everything he's done, I still say the best thing he's ever done is Spaced. It was the first TV series they ever did. And it was one of those TV shows where if you're a geek, this show pretty much, it had everything. I'm sure there was a Doctor Who reference in there somewhere. You had video game references. You had everything in there.
I've never seen it, oddly enough. I might have to check it out.
It's good. It's actually on Netflix and on a DVD now.
I'll have to check it out. Trying to think, there was something I came across the other day, and I was going to bring it up, and now I can't remember. And it was Doctor Who related. Now I can't remember. Oh well, I don't think it's that important. Yeah, I don't really have anything to add with The Long Game. I mean, it's another one of those episodes. Yeah, I'll watch it, but it's really there. It doesn't really stick in my head as a high point episode for the season, other than that it is connected to the end of the season. Dalek will always be one of the best episodes of New Who to date, I think. Just for how well it was executed. I mean, the performances of both the Doctor and Rose were really done well. Van Staten was done okay. It was interesting seeing Van Staten kind of try and torture the Doctor a little bit, and then, you know, the Dalek gets out and he's like, well, if you want to live, you better let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Van Staten was really just, he was pretty much a kid with too many toys, didn't know what he had, didn't respect it.
Yes, like the scene where, when he first met the Doctor, they were in his office, and he said, what's this? And they're like, is it a power source? What? Yeah. And the Doctor takes this little, whatchamacallit, looks like a seashell. And he's like, he rubs across it a little bit, and it's a musical instrument.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And then later on, he goes into the assistant's office where they have all these uncatalogued parts, and he's like, I gotta find a weapon. And it's like, well, here's everything we got. And he starts going through his box, broken, hair dryer, Keach is saying, you know, just throwing all these things aside, it's like he instantly knows everything. This kid is going, we need to hire this guy.
Yeah, and when you first meet Adam, you think he's this, you know, a good kid and all this other stuff, and that he'd be, you know, he'd also end up being a good companion, but then you get into the long game and you see he's just as greedy and underhanded as Van Staten was.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has to end up living with his mistakes in the end. So, I mean, the two episodes do go together good just because of that. But Dalek really, really highlight, if you haven't seen Dalek yet, you need to see it. Even if you don't watch any other episodes from Christopher Eccleston's first season, you need to see Dalek. It's just, it's very powerful, it's very well done. But, yeah, I really can't add to that. I mean, there's been so much said about Dalek over the years, it's really hard to top what some of the other reviewers have done, you know? You just end up rehashing the same old things. I think we're gonna end up with the same problem when we get to The Empty Child. Cause how much can you say? It's really, you know, it's hard to top a lot of the things that have already been said about such greatness. When there's a lot to nitpick and complain about, I can go on forever. I guess I'm just cynical like that.
But it's good to be cynical. See, I'm kind of more indifferent. It's like, do whatever you want to, you know, don't matter. People say I'm too laid back, and maybe I am, but you know, I don't care.
Now next week, because in 2 weeks Charles and I are both going to be at the same convention in Oaks, Pennsylvania, so we're not going to, obviously the convention's on the day we usually record, so we're obviously not going to record that day. So we're going to try and do two episodes back to back next week. I don't know how that's going to work out. Usually by after an hour of rambling about Doctor Who, I'm pretty much done. Trying to do 2 hours next week is going to be a little rough. So we'll do our best.
Right.
Let me see real quick what we are up for next week, because we're already up to about 40 minutes. So even if we cut it short, it's not going to be that short of an episode. Let me go back to my episode list here.
Hey, you know, actually thinking about it, we should mention to, we do have listeners, obviously. We will be at a convention in, was it Oaks, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Oaks, Pennsylvania.
November 11th. It's called, RetroCon.
Yeah. So if you're in the Oaks, Pennsylvania area, which is near King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia, if you're in that area and you want to come to the, RetroCon convention, I'll put a link in the, description to this episode on the page, if I remember. Mm-hmm. Come to RetroCon. It's gonna be a blast. There's actually gonna be some, a couple of the voice actors from the original Thundercats are gonna be there. Including Larry Kenny, the voice of Lion-O himself, who I've met on several occasions. What else is gonna be there? There's gonna be, you know, couple of comic book artists. There's gonna be a DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Tons of comic and toy vendors galore. I think yeah, they sold like what,
93 tables. They've maxed mm-hmm. out. They added that 75 was their original limit. They maxed out on that. They sold some extra tables and they're at 93 right now, and that he can't fit anything else in there. Tony's already done the layout for the floor, so they're ready for that. So it's gonna be fun. I'm actually gonna be working the convention. I got a 2 hour shift from 1 to 3. I'll be checking people's wristbands at the door. If you don't have your wristband, I'm kicking you out.
And knowing me, I'll forget mine in the hotel and I'll get kicked out. Like, no.
There are gonna be lots of cosplayers there. It's gonna be a costume contest. It's going to be a really fun time. It's focusing a lot on the 70s and 80s. So, Yeah, if you're in that area, you can come check it out. You might even get to meet me and Charles in person.
Yes. And I don't know about Kevin, but I will be in costume, at least for probably not the entire show, but at least a good half the show, maybe three quarters of it.
I'm still debating whether I'm going to wear my 11th Doctor costume or not. I have to. I had to pack up a lot of my stuff in my house recently, and some of it's out in the garage, and I still haven't come across my suspenders and the shirt that I wear for my 11th Doctor costume, but I got the rest. I got my tweed jacket, you know, got my black jeans, all that good stuff. My bow tie, because bow ties are cool.
Mm-hmm.
Got my sonic screwdriver. All the important stuff.
Yep.
So I'm debating. I may wear my costume. I may not. I don't know. We'll see. So next week, as I said, we're going to be recording two episodes back to back. But they'll be separated by a week. So what we're going to do is, because what's up next, you have Father's Day followed by The Empty Child, The Doctor Dances, and Boomtown. What we'll probably do is talk about Father's Day and then Boomtown, because there really are standalone episodes. Father's Day is a really powerful episode, and it really shows how selfish Rose can actually be, and she finally learns a really good lesson about being selfish in the end. And mm-hmm. Boomtown's just a silly episode, but it does conclude part of the story elements from World War III, as it has to do with the surviving Slitheen from that episode. And then we'll do The Empty Child and The Doctor Dances, since they're the two-part episode and are really well done. That'll be an episode by itself, which will then lead us into the week after the convention would be Bad Wolf and the Parting of the Ways, which is the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, it worked out nicely that way, if we do it like that. So, you have anything else to add about Dalek?
Not really. I feel kind of bad, because like I say, it's one of my favorite episodes. I don't really know what to say about it, other than what's been said already.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's our problem. When you get into episodes that good, it's hard to say anything other than this was well done, that was well done. You end up just repeating yourself and rambling. So that's why we're cutting this one just a little bit shorter than normal. Only about 10 minutes shorter. It's not gonna be that much shorter.
I think the problem is we couldn't think of any good comedy relief, because we had what was it, the last episode we did, we talked about the farting aliens, and it's like,
yeah.
Nothing was really funny in this episode, or the next one.
No.
Not quite.
Well, there was some funny stuff in The Long Game, mostly centered around Adam, and the doctor gave him some money, and he had ended up having unlimited credit, so he can get the full head upgrade, and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. The nurse that worked on him, just her delivery was kind of funny and deadpan, you could say. But really, the episode without him and without Simon Pegg, I don't think that episode would have worked as well. It really was done a little bit more for comedy, even though there was some serious stuff going on. And the doctor thinking in the end that he put the human race back on track. And it turns out that he made things worse, which you find out later on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like, you know, what's going on with the Doctor and Rose is almost second fiddle to what's going on with that Adam kid in the episode. That's just the way it feels to me. In the mysterious floor 500 where the walls are paved and are made out of gold and all this other crap.
Yes, I don't think we're going into a palace on that one.
Yeah. I should have been promoted. I should have been promoted. If you're promoted, you're dead. Yeah, so. Yeah, with the hurricane coming in, I kind of want to just get this one done and just really get, that way I can just prepare to hunker down and get through this storm. Stormageddon.
I know. what was it? People were talking about how the storms were combined with a cold front up north. And I actually posted up a link earlier to one of the really bad storms we had down here in North Carolina, Hurricane Floyd in 1999. It actually combined with a cold front as well. But the problem with Floyd was, to give you an example, like right now, where I'm at, we just went through the hurricane. Kevin's about to go through it in a day. Floyd, I left Wilmington to go to Toronto in Canada. When I left Wilmington, I was in hurricane force winds. When I arrived in Toronto, I was still in tropical storm force winds because the storm was so gigantic.
Yeah, this one's just about as big. They were showing how much of the country it's actually covering, all the way back into like Tennessee and stuff like that. It's really huge, but the worst of it's coming right where I'm at. So. You got lucky. You only got, you know, clipped by it.
So, yeah, for like once, it was interesting.
Yeah. Well.
But as everybody says right here, we're overdue. We'll get ours one day, unfortunately.
Usually you do because you stick right out there in the Atlantic like that.
Right where you're
at. Yeah. All right. We're kind of rambling now, just trying to kill time, I guess. So.
Oh, people enjoy that about us. We're such ramblers. We're like doctors in a way. You know, we just start talking nonsense. And, you know, people are like, oh, this is fun. We like hearing this. We just got to stay on track with the thing, but you know.
Yeah. We're just having fun with it. I guess that's the important thing. So next week might have a little bit more to complain about because, you know, Boomtown, we got, you know, more farting alien stuff. And, though there is some cool stuff in that episode, I do like the scene where, Margaret and the doctor are having dinner and she's trying to kill him like all these different ways and he's just always one step ahead of her and he's not even looking at her. I do like that scene, so I will enjoy talking about that. Father's Day. It's a really Rose-centric episode, and it shows off her ego in a way, thinking she can change time, and the doctor pointing out that there are consequences to everything they do. So that'll be interesting to talk about, because there's a lot of paradox stuff and, you know, things like that. And just, yeah. So.
And the other thing is, too, we love talking about the farting aliens. I love that so much. It gets a good topic. But I've actually been, you know, rewatching Doctor Who, and I'm getting ready to jump into Series 5. All I will say is if you, the audience, love our talk about farting aliens, wait till you hear me talk about Mr. Potato Head aliens, and that is all I'm going to say. Most people should know exactly what I'm talking about, but I will not say anything else until we get to those episodes. Might be a few weeks.
Are you talking about the ones I think you are, the ones that have a stature issue?
Yes, I am.
They've always looked like that. Oh, going back into the old series, they always look like that. What was that?
Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head. Yeah. So, Dalek, great episode, reintroduces us to the Daleks in the new Doctor Who, gives us a lot of the backstory for the Time War, or at least our first hints of the backstory for the Time War. You find out more in David Tennant's era, even though it's something that, you know, I actually agree with the producers. It is something that should be spoken of like this, but never seen, because whatever they film will never be as vivid as our own imaginations. So I do agree with that sentiment. So, with 10 minutes to go, we're just going to cut it off here. I know Charles has stuff to do. I have stuff to do. For everyone listening, even though this will be up afterwards, I hope everyone has gotten through the storm okay by the time this goes up. I hope I get through the storm okay, because then otherwise this won't go up, and this will be the last thing in my life I record, but let's not go there. So,
why so worried?
Yeah, well, we're not, you gotta understand. Where I'm at, we don't get storms like this, but once every 10 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
You get them once a year almost. You'll have one. Either clip you really good or come right in. I know it's been a couple of years since you've really had one hit, but you've gone through them a lot more than I have.
Yeah, and we actually deserved a break because we had about 10 years ago, we went through about 5 or 6 almost within the span of 2 years that were extremely bad.
Yeah. But your infrastructure down there is also built more around that fact that you get these mm-hmm. super storms every, you know, you may get 1 or 2 a year. You guys are set up better for it than we are.
I know, you would think about it. You know, keep this Doctor Who related. Every time aliens invade London, it's like everything gets destroyed and all that kind of stuff. Or would they invade like a little small town in the middle of like this town where it's like, oh, we're more prepared for you. Come on, bring it.
All right, so I guess on that note, we're going to call this one an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if we bored you in this one. I guess I'm not just all mentally here because of what's coming, so I really couldn't focus. So, sorry. Forgive me. This is what happens when Stormageddon, the Dark Lord of All, is knocking at your door. Damn you, Alfie! That's what this thing should have been called, Hurricane Alfie. That would have been the ultimate Doctor Who Hurricane reference. I will say for everyone out there, I highly recommend getting a hold of the Doctor Who, Star Trek, The Next Generation crossover. It's being done really well. I think they're up to issue 6 right now. And I've been reading them as they come out, so I recommend that for, you know, if you want a newer story that still features the Pons. Other than that, this is Kevin.
And this is Charles.
And we will talk to you all next time. Here on Who Gives a Hoot. Thank you much. Bye.
Have a good one.